In this edition of the podcast, master lithographer Fred Jenness worked with leading international artists across the world, as well as with generations of Australian artists. Now, a new exhibition at the Grafton Regional Gallery celebrates Fred Jenness's remarkable life and craft and uncovers the special bond formed between printer and artist. I'm Tim Stackpool, and this is Inside the Gallery. Thanks for listening to the podcast once again, as we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the various lands that this podcast is produced and downloaded, and we pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And a reminder that a transcript of this episode, thanks to the Grafton Regional Gallery, is available via the description of this episode at www.insidethegallery.com.au. During his 40-year career, master lithographer Fred Jenness worked in the United States, Europe and Australia, collaborating with leading artists from around the world. His working life spanned monumental eras in the 20th century, including the American Abstract Expressionist movement of the 1960s and 1970s New York, where he worked with artists such as Willem de Kooning, Sam Francis and John Cage. After moving to Australia in 1979, Fred set up workshops in Sydney and the Northern Rivers, working as a printer, publisher, and teacher for three decades until his retirement in 2007. During this time, he worked with generations of Australian artists, including John Olson, Lloyd Rees, Tim Storia, Judy Watson, Guang Wei, Brett Whiteley, and many more. The Grafton Regional Gallery is undertaking a major exhibition of Fred Jenness's Printer's Proof Collection, his own private collection, including more than 100 of the artist's original lithographs, as well as a look at Fred's remarkable and somewhat previously unrecognised history. The curator of the exhibition is Professor Pedram Khosronajad. He's curator exhibition and collections at the Grafton Regional Gallery, well known to regular listeners of this podcast. And he joins us now on the phone. Pedram, good to chat with you once again.
Thank you so much, team. And I'm deeply grateful for Inside the Gallery podcast to host me again and talk about our exhibition at the Grafton Regional Gallery. Indeed, this is our first collaboration once I moved here.
Yeah, well, you've got this exhibition, as you said, the first one since you joined the gallery. But first of all, who was Fred Jenness and why did he come and how did he come to Australia in the first place?
Fred Jenness, originally, you know, he's from Netherlands, born in 1934, and passed away in 2022 in Mulumbimby, New South Wales, Australia. In his entire life, I can say, was an immigrant. He moved all around the world in different continents to just find a peaceful place to work professionally with artists and also create, you know, a nice place for his own family. When he was young, you know, he met his wife, Rena, and alone or together, they traveled different continents like Africa, South America, North America, like United States, Europe, Australia. And indeed, they visited together first Australia before 1979. Probably 1959, if not 1960, that they came to Sydney first. And as he didn't find what he wanted in artwork, they left here for other countries. And so I think the first country that he could find himself as an artist was United States. So 7 years that he worked there between 1965 and 1972, he was really between good hands, good schools of lithograph printmaking, and could prove his talents that he had inherited from extensive classic learning and knowledge of lithography in Netherlands and Europe. He began to work suddenly with big names in the United States, and this is where actually his three daughters, they are born And while with his wife Rina, it was the age of education of girls, they preferred to move from New York, and they chose to come in 1979 in Australia, settle down here. And this is where, again, many Europeans and Australian corporate artists work with him. And the last destination probably was in Byron Bay, where he had his own studio, and in Murrumbimby when he passed away. Fred Jennings, I think for me, remains an immigrant who worked extensively on transferring his professional knowledge, art, and technology, and nicely, you put it nicely, a craft team to Australia and beyond. And this is why, you know, I think I would like to call him invisible alchemist.
An invisible alchemist, yeah.
Alchemist.
Yeah. So, as you say, he traveled so much, you felt he was an immigrant for life. But, of course, he was a master lithographer. And I just wonder if that's now considered an ancient art. So, let's just understand what lithography was back then, or perhaps still is, and whether it's still important for the arts today.
It's a very tricky question, the second part of your question. The first part is very easy. Lithography, you know, is a type of traditional printmaking or technical technology that involves artists draw with a crayon or a special liquid for lithography that in industry they call it touche on a very polished slab of the stone, which is mostly limestone. Or in more, you know, recent periods, they work also on zinc and aluminium plates, and they will draw what they want on these surfaces.
So the artist draws on the surfaces?
On the surface of limestone or aluminium plates or zinc plates. Mm-hmm. Okay, they draw with this greasy crayon or that liquid touche on the surface. And this greasy image, you know, is going to be, you know, ready for a print. So then they, on the surface of the stone or plate, they cover the surface with a very chemical liquid to secure where the image is and where the image should not be printed. Mm-hmm. So when the surface covered by these, then they will again clean the surface of stone or clay with a damp textile or just make it damp. Mm-hmm. So the surface that is not greasy stay blank. So the drawing and images that draw on that plate are ready to be covered by a roller, inking the surface of a stone or plate. And then we put a damp flat paper, print paper on the surface of a stone or plate, and then run it under the lithograph press.
Right. So basically the lithographer is the technician who is then printing the works of the artist.
Well, in very simple way, you can say technician, but it's not actually technician, as I said, is alchemist.
Yeah.
Why? Because like all sorts of print, traditional printmaking, printing is a collaboration between artist and printer. And I think until today, if I don't exaggerate, mostly always we talk about artists and not the printer. However, not all artists, especially in the field of lithography, they don't have knowledge of lithography. And they need to learn how to transfer their artistic idea on the surface of limestone or plate. And this is the printer who should prepare it ready for print. How do you make that color? How to fix that color? What's the extensivity of the deepest of the color? What's the tonality of color? What's the texture? How you can make texture on the surface? These are all in the hand of magician printer. So here, printer's role is to listen to artists, guide the artists, and say, okay, this is how it works. So instead of technician, I say facilitator.
Yeah.
But facilitator who knows definitely extensively the technology of making colors, making inks, and mostly how it works in lithography.
Yeah. So this exhibition called Apprentice Proof, are we seeing works that Fred Jenness retained, which were practically proofs of work which were never released to the public? Is this the collection that you're showing us?
Yes, but I need to first explain something about the work of printer's proof.
Uh-huh.
In lithography, before arriving at that point to be sure that you are printing the last version of edition, which both printer and artist are happy, there are other steps. So, for example, you have clean pin, which is trial print. You have something like PT, printer try. You have bon à tirer, is a French word, bon à tirer. It is good one, which is ready for printing. So there are a lot of dialogue between printer and artist until they are both satisfied. Then they write bon à tirer. And after that, the presence of artists in a studio of printmaking is not necessary. Based on that example of bon à tirer, printer can alone print everything. Those that go to artists, they are AP, artist proof. Those goes to printer, they are PP, printer's proof.
Right.
Therefore, each printmaster printer has its own collection of printer's proofs. That mostly this is how the printing masters, they make money, because then they go and sell their printer's proof and then get salary through that. So the printer's proofs are very valuable, back to your question, because our exhibition is based on private collection of Fred Jenness, which covers his work in United States, in Europe, and Australia. And many of prints on the wall in exhibition are print-proof version. However, as a printmaker, he had also different other versions, bon à tirer, artist-proof, normal edition. And for exhibition, I selected different type of editions because I believe this is one of the ways that we can educate our public to ask what are the meaning and significance of these things.
So we see a variety of work from a variety of artists, is that right?
Indeed. The exhibition area covers four major galleries of new building of the Graz Regional Gallery built up in 2021. So the gallery one and four, which are just in front, in the basement and level one, covers artists from the United States. The second gallery goes to Europe, and the last part of gallery number two and three covers artists from Australia. And in total, we have 55 artists and around 152 prints, lithographs on the wall. And as you can imagine, it's a very huge exhibition. As a curator, I need to compromise many, 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 many lithographs. So this is why probably from many artists, we have only two and rarely three and many one artworks. Because another situation with lithographs are they are huge and they're big. You cannot make very small lithograph. It doesn't make sense. So lithographs and artists that Fred Jenness work with, especially big names, as you know, they wanted really to work on big plates for their prints.
Now, you had conversations with a number of people as part of your study and preparation for this exhibition, I know, because we've been talking about it for weeks. And the diversity of that really tells of the extent of why Fred was sought out by artists and so well respected. But who were some of the people that you've been in contact with? There's many of them.
Unfortunately, many of artists who worked with Fred, especially those in the United States and Europe, they passed away. But a very good number of them are still among us. So I could interview Tim Storier and also a female artist who probably was one of the last artists who printed and worked with Fred, is Sharon Muir, who is living in Klass Valley. I also interviewed very well-known Chinese artist Guan Wei, which was, again, one of those artists that extensively, four or five times between 80s to 2000, worked with Fred Jenness. Also, Danny Moynihan, which another big name in Australian art, I interviewed. I could talk to the Whitney Whiteley regarding the work of Brett Whiteley. So a group, as much as I can say, group of artists that I could really reach, I interviewed. If not, they wrote their memories about working with Fred, which is very, very interesting. For example, one of the famous Dutch artists, female, Ferti, she really, really wrote very nice texts for our exhibition because, you know, she's Dutch, Fred is Dutch, and the memory is back, you know, really to 70s working together on her exhibition. When we collect all of these things, this is very interesting where today these artists are standing with which nationality. One feeling is common between them, and this is that Fred Jenness was a person with full of humor. When you wanted to begin, we needed to talk about music, literature, poetry, and then we could begin our work. And he was such a master printer that never imposed himself to the artist.
Now, you also had a conversation with Hendrik Kollenberg, who was a curator, if I recall, at the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
Yeah, Hendrik Kollenberg was actually, first of all, he's Dutch and a senior curator of printing, drawing, and watercolor at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. Hendrik and his dear wife, Juliana, are two major keynote speakers of artistic profile of Fred Jenness. Whatsoever written in Australia, mostly about Fred, written by Hendrik and Juliana, especially Juliana, prepared extensive biography of Fred's artistic life. So from the beginning, I think Hendrik and Fred, beyond being both from Netherlands, worked together, and Hendrik really understood well the beautiful transferring knowledge that Fred is contributing to Australia, being in Art Gallery of New South Wales, being in touch with many other institutions. Henry tried to help a lot, as much as he could, to transfer the works of Fred, of his experiences to other artists. And he wrote very beautifully. So my conversation with Henrik was really eye-opening, and I can say without Henry, me as a curator of exhibition could not go beyond the surface of this lithograph because Fred is not here to talk and many of artists are dispersed.
Let's have a little bit of a listen of that interview that you had with Hendrik.
When an artist started with him, he would talk about what it was that they were on about and he would try and understand how they might be able to work within his lithographic medium. And what I picked up about Fred was probably that he seemed to see lithography more as a material thing than how you normally hear it. Because lithography is, you don't seem to be aware of ink on the paper. It's so thin and delicate. When you see the best of Fred's lithographs by the artist that really seemed to understand the medium and understood Fred and worked with him well, you do feel that material side. And although you don't see that there's a thick layer of ink there, it feels as if there is. My experience with him mainly was with Lloyd Rees, because I knew Lloyd Rees well, got to know him quite well, and so I saw most of the lithographs that were being produced I saw them, in a way, happening between Lloyd and Fred. And then when I did an exhibition of Lloyd's prints, there was one that I was very keen to get hold of that was in the Art Gallery of New South Wales that was a failure. And he said what he couldn't often get an artist to understand was that you didn't need to draw heavily to make a lithograph. You could be very light. It would pick up everything. But Lloyd tended to be very bold, unaware that he wanted to make sure the image was there. And when he did the Kalula suite, that's why some of them didn't quite come off. Some of them actually were lost because
it's too dark.
He was putting too much of the stuff on, the lithographic wax. But this one that was in the Art Gallery of New South Wales, which was called a failure, it's almost all black. But Lloyd obviously still saw something in it, and that's what happened to his lithograph later. He began to draw onto it to try and bring back a bit of the image, as you would in a drawing. And it was very interesting to see that print, because Lloyd didn't have to put much on it, a little bit of white crayon, and he brought it alive. And it's the most stunning lithograph. And then one day, going through all of Fred's prints, I found one that he hadn't drawn on, the same. So there are only two of it. And it was very interesting to see those two, because Fred was right and Lloyd was right. Fred could see that it might fail and he couldn't go on with it. Lloyd knew. Now, if he'd printed a full edition of that one, it would have been one of the most exciting of the lot. He should have allowed Lloyd to just put a few marks on each of them. He would have done it. They could have even all been slightly different. It wouldn't matter. Or even if he just printed 10. You know, it was a pity that only one really he got to the point he was at. But that's what I liked about Fred. He liked to work with the artists. He tried to understand them. And over a short period, that's what happened. So after that first explosion of printmaking with Kalula and that particular print, you know, they made a whole series of them.
Pedram, it's kind of obvious from that conversation that beyond Fred's skill, the nature of him as a person was part of the reason why artists found working with him so compelling. What do you think it was that made Fred so sought after compared to other lithographers at the time?
I think Fred was a seeker. He was in search of artists. He was thirsty to help artists to learn about lithography and the possibilities that lithography can offer them that the other mediums could not do that. Because lithography is very, very technical, as you mentioned in the beginning, but has a lot of narrow avenues that only a good master printer can open those doors, like a keyholder of the gate. This is why I call him alchemist. And show them to the artist, you can do this, you cannot do that, this does not work with this. And artists could understand, okay, I should not do that, or I should do against what he said. And see what it happens. A teacher in art, which I include in this case, Fred, as a good teacher, should be like a gardener. You cannot take a tree and say, okay, your apple should be like this. You can just take care of the tree, pump it, water it, and then wait to see what type of apple you will have. What's the fruit? And I think Fred did exactly like that.
But I think Pedram, and I may be mistaken, that he did have a very strong forthright nature, which was sometimes at odds with the thinking of the artist. But I just wonder if he wasn't then a yes man. So, and that's why the artist had such faith and trust in him, because he would speak what he thought was wrong.
Exactly. And this is the role of that gardener teacher that I'm talking about. Let me give you one example.
Sure.
In his interviews with one of the art historians back to 2000, early 2000s, about Willem de Kooning, the interview is around the collaboration of Fred Jenis with Willem de Kooning and how they worked together and how was Willem de Kooning regarding this work. And Fred is saying, well, I told de Kooning, for example, you cannot use this on the lithograph, stone or plate, but you can use this, use that. You cannot use water because it's not watercolor, for example. You cannot paint like brush or watercolor on the stone, for example, etc., etc. And Fred says, with my great surprise, I did see things that he created amazingly. And when I asked, what did he use? He said, I use water, the thing that you told me not to use. And And in the interview, Fred is laughing after saying that. Shows that he's happy that artists didn't listen to him and did what he wanted to do. So he could tell you as an artist, listen, you are pushing too much, for example, crayon on the stone. This is not what you, for example, wanted. Or, for example, his experience I've been with Lloyd Rees. His long-term friendship and collaboration with Lloyd Rees, Henrik told me, the first albums working together is very dark because Lloyd needed to learn about how to use lithographs. But in the second and third one, I think Fred could tell her, listen, you don't need to push that much. Just be yourself and go relax and do that. So she was very good observant and left time to artists to look at the work, think about it, talk about it, have test prints, trial prints, until artist is happy. Not when he is happy, because he wanted to be sure that artist really achieved what he wanted. And I think this is what I get from all testimonials that I received orally in written or when I read things about Fred. And this is what makes him unique. So when he arrived in 1939 Australia, he's a big master printer, maybe unique in the world, but humbly, he worked with all sorts of artists. First was John Olsen, Bert Whiteley, Lloyd Rees, Tim Sawyer, or also with very humble students at that time, and today they are big names, like Judy Watson, First Nation artist, Sharon Meir. He just, you know, humbly look at their work, and it's very nice because Sharon said, well, when I first saw him look at my work, he was in silence. And I didn't know if it's a good silence or a bad silence. And Fred said, oh, this is a good silence. Now let's walk. You need to walk with me. So, you know, he gave energy to the artists, encouraged them, but dedicated one. Everyone confirmed, when I was in a studio working with Fred, no other artists or people were around. 2 weeks that I was in the studio, he and his studio material were dedicated only to me.
Now, you spoke with many artists. As you said, one of them was the Archibald winner, Tim Storia.
Yes.
This is what he told you about Fred.
A lot of it was like watching a very fine mechanic tune an engine. I mean, Fred, being Dutch, had this sort of Germanic thing about getting it absolutely right. And, you know, and I'm talking about how the machines, the presses work, how the inks are mixed. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of work that Fred did with mixing inks. And he was very, very experienced. And 9 times out of 10, he'd get within a whisker of what you were looking for first shot. But your relationship with Fred in the studio, while you were proofing it to try and get the print to work, it depended utterly on if you knew what you were doing or how the print went. And if it was going wrong or you were trying to get Fred to do something he didn't like, it could become quite frosty, and you know, you knew you were going in the wrong track. He had a very good instinct and vast experience on how to get a print to work. And some of them work very well easily and others don't, but you couldn't be in better hands, that's for sure.
That really does sum up the respect that artists had for Fred. But talking about you, though, you're a professor of anthropology. What do you think we learn about human interactions and relationships? What have you learned, really, curating a show like this?
Wow, it's a very big question, which brings us to who probably I am, anthropologist curator. That always I say, I'm anthropologist curator. From the beginning of this project, probably in late January 2024, visiting Fred Jenness' private collection, then select the artworks with my colleagues, bring them here to the gallery. And it's so exciting that you are touching, you know, the art lithographs works done by Fred Jenness and Rosenberg, William de Kooning, John Cage, John Olsen, Brett Whiteley, Tim Sawyer, who else you want to say? New Zealand artist Max Gimbold, or Sharon Meir, Judy Watson, Guan Wei. They are big names that, you know, as a curator, I'm really grateful for this position and having access to this art on a daily basis, look at them and think about Fripp and what he had in his mind. The magic thing here is, in one exhibition with plus 150 huge lithographs, complex mostly in color lithographs, because, you know, for if they are color lithographs, we need different plate for each color. All these artists and these 115 prints printed by one person, Fred Jenness, but they are all different. And this is how I think a gardener like him should be very proud, that he has a big garden with diversity of plantations. None of them are the same. How beautiful it is. He was in shadow, respectful for the artist and their art. So I think Fred was someone with huge humor. It's interesting to say that he could not even draw one apple. As someone who worked with big artists, he could not draw.
Yes, well, his art and craft was seen in a different way.
Exactly.
It was expressed in a different way, yeah.
But since young, he learned that he's thirsty for technology and science and craft, as you said. And where is the connection of art with these things? He was dedicated in that. Smelling the ink, tasting the Arabic gum or water-based liquid things to be sure this is good. You know, like any craft, there is secrecy in lithography. As a printer, learn them and just apply them. But the other side, he was a man of family. Love his wife, children, and work hard in his life to arrive at that point. In the beginning, for instance, in South America or Africa, he did everything, or even in the US in the beginning. He works in a hotel, work in Africa in railroad just to survive. But step by step, you know, he understood how he can find his way, but never forgot, I think, his past, and never forgot his friends. Always they were welcome. Always the door was open. Rina is an amazing person. All artists that I talk to, they say, we are grateful to Rina and Fred because they stayed with the family for those weeks of printmaking. And Rina was in charge of them. So they created, both Rina and Fred, a family ambience for this artist to feel good and safe, stay with them, live with them, and do the printings. And I think Fred didn't want interviews. This is why even today that we are talking, there is not even one article about Fred, not a book about Fred's life. No one really heard the entire story of Fred Jenness. And this is another important angle of our exhibition. I think she was a lovely human with big heart, excited, always had that big boy inside himself, and encouraging teacher. He loved his work, especially with Lloyd Rice. Lloyd lived in another state in Australia. Many times, especially during the last years of Lloyd's life, he did drive to Lloyd's place, show him the drawing, back to his studio, make the place, did drive again to Lloyd, corrected them. And how many times he did this way, go and back, until both of them are happy, and then he printed them. Only a dedicated person can do these things with big heart. But in the end, again, I think as an anthropologist, I can say he was an immigrant, sacrificed his life for transferring the traditional and modern knowledge of lithograph printmaking. And definitely his place is in art history of Australia and beyond.
And you're helping with that, because it's great to see such an exhibition of this kind at your regional gallery. And the director of the Grafton Regional Gallery, Sarah Gurick, tells a bit of an interesting story about how this came to be. This is what she told you in an earlier conversation.
You know, I have seen a lot of prints by Australian artists, but often the printmaker is the unknown in the equation. Fred Jenness's work really came to my attention recently when I came to the Northern Rivers, when the Lone Goat Gallery, which is up in Byron Bay, had an exhibition of Fred Jenness's American artist prints. It was called Young Americans, which instantly piqued my interest because what a cool name for an exhibition. And that just piqued my interest. Who is Fred Jenness? Why is he here? How is this extraordinary body of work coming from someone's home in the, you know, the hills of Byron Bay? And I think that where you have come in and taken an idea of, you know, a collection of prints by a master printmaker to realise an exhibition of this scale and scope and importance is something that's, you know, it's very special and very significant. So for someone like Fred Jenness, who had such an international career before he came to Australia and had worked with the best of the best in Europe and the United States, and then came to Australia in 1979 to establish his own print workshop. In some ways, he brought a level of importance with him to his craft and shared that with Australian artists. So I think that what this exhibition is really going to highlight is the diversity of lithography and what it can do, the incredible wealth of talent of the artists that Fred Jenness worked with, but also Fred Jenness as a master printmaker. And often, as I said earlier, the printmaker is not seen. He's part of the beginning process, but the end process is all about the artist. So I think that that's really important, highlighting his legacy and highlighting that collaborative nature, that collaborative process between a printmaker and the artist, which I think is something that Fred Jenness really had a gift in terms of the way he collaborated with the artists that he worked with.
So, Pedram, before we wrap up, once you started digging further into the history of Fred Jenness, what was the one thing you think you found most compelling? You talked about his love of family, his love of working with the artists. What do you think shines brightest out of every part of Fred's career?
Facilitator and be a good friend. When I talked to John Fulford Smith or anyone, they said he was a good friend. He listened to you very well, carefully, and never talked too much. But definitely some of artists, they told me he was so excited. He could not focus on one thing long time. And so I said, okay, let's go have a drink. Oh, let's listen to this music. So I think still I'm asking myself, Tim, because it's amazing what he achieved. He was an individual that was very loved socializing with artists in the studio. But when he wanted to print them, he was alone. And I think it was the crème de la crème for him, the best of the best time for him, alone in his studio and feel, okay, now I'm printing that beauty alone here in my own space, my own time. As I said, he was very humble. He worked with famous top-rate artists, humble artists, as one say, bohemian, migrant artists, students, doesn't matter for him. If he could see the talent, definitely he was a talent hunter too. And he did psychology of artists. His work with John Cage, even is like collaborative project of John Cage in all cases. I would love to be there and see how he was dealing with John Cage, which is big, big name, philosopher, composer, artist, thinker, whatsoever. So from working with that person, to Kooning, Rosenberg, whoever in US, and then coming here, working very humble artist that, you know, in young age, I would love to think what he's thinking, how humble he can be. He never said, oh, I work with the Kooning, so I don't work with normal people, or you should go to my waiting list. And he hated bureaucracy. He began to teach in different schools of art in Sydney, let's say a print department of Sydney College of Art. And he was elected as a head of printmaking at the National Art School in Sydney, from where he resigned because I was told he hated the bureaucracy. And he understood at that time, probably we are coming to the end, students, they don't have that much interest to what he's saying. And he felt that he's wasting his time, resigned and back to his own studio to work with artists. And one of my hope in gallery, by running this exhibition, let's say that it was his wish, and I read that in 2003, that in this interview about de Kooning, he says, I wish that one time somewhere I can have retrospective exhibition about all three continents where I worked, US, Europe, and Australia. And never happened until now. So it is for the first time that these three continents, lithographs printed by Fred Jennings, will be on the wall. And I think that it can show the importance of the place of lithography in 21st century in Australia. And really, I hope artists, students of the field, come here, look at this, and together we think where we are going from here regarding traditional lithograph printmaking in Australia and beyond, and learn from what Fred Jennings' collection kept for us today.
The exhibition is running from when to when?
Exhibition's opening ceremony will be at 11 May, Saturday at 2 p.m. And exhibition will go until July 7th.
And you have a curator talk coming up as well?
On the opening day from 2 to 3, I will have floor talk, conversation between myself as a curator and Rina and Lois Jennings, the wife and the daughter of Fred, about Fred's life, Fred's trajectory as a printmaker. And after that, we will have very, very, very interesting workshop, hands-on lithography here inside the gallery by the last lithographer, printmaker, and artist who worked with Fred in Mulumbimbi. He will have one studio open here to show everyone how they can work on the stones and how they can print. And then we have the opening official ceremony, which will be opened by the director of gallery and keynote talk of Henry Kullenberg. So ceremony goes on till the 5 p.m.
And the other thing is, Pedram, I just want to be sure, I understand the gallery is closed one day a week or so?
Yes, the part of gallery of exhibition, Mondays we are not working, but the rest of the week, including weekends, we are open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day, except the public holidays.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because I don't want people turning up and then finding that the gallery is closed on the one day that they're in town.
Everyone can find the information and details on the website or gallery, how they can reach us.
Excellent. Look, Pedram, I think it's terrific. You and the team at the gallery actually finally recognizing the work of Fred Jennings, and this, he's like this nucleus with this orbit of these amazing artists, international artists, just circling him for decades at a time. Great to actually interview you this time again for a change. And thanks for your time and your effort, as I say, put towards the exhibition.
Thank you, Tim.
That's Pedram Khosranajad, Curator, Exhibitions and Collection at the Grafton Regional Gallery, talking about the extensive exhibition dedicated to the work of Fred Jennings. Apprentice Proof running, as Pedram said, from the 11th of May through to the 7th of July. And if you're listening to this podcast prior to the opening, there is that curator talk on Saturday the 11th of May at 2 p.m. For details, head to graftongallery.nsw.gov.au. That's graftongallery.nsw.gov.au. A link to the gallery's website can also be found in the description of this episode at www.insidethegallery.com.au, along with links to our social accounts and our newsletter alerts. Thanks for your interest in the podcast as always. Thanks to Pedram Khosranajad for the chat. And until the next edition, I'm Tim Stackpool. Bye-bye for now.